Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Moe. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
What's up, Dildo?
Hey, the head.
Continuing an earlier conversation.
Yes. The world of professional wrestling. Tonight is payback.
Yeah, it's payback. That's right. And we're here. What we're doing is we're going to talk payback.
Yeah.
Other shit. Cause it's been a little while. Been a couple weeks there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go and watch the show. And then we'll watch Camp WWE. And then we'll come back and talk about how great Camp WWE was.
Yes. And payback.
And payback. I actually feel like, you know what is weird? I actually feel like this is an important pay-per-view, surprisingly.
Well, yeah, because Vince is going to talk to Stephanie and Shane. So you're going to have all three McMahons there.
Well, that actually wasn't why.
Oh. I actually forgot that was happening until somebody reminded me today.
Yeah. And they reminded you, and then you thought, yay. That is still the weakest storyline. It still is the weakest storyline in years.
Oh yeah,
there's no question. It's awful, and we can move on though because it's like, there's no sense talking about it. Everybody's talked about what a weak storyline that is. It's happening, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like more importantly, when the WrestleMania happened, like the next day, it essentially like they hit a reset button and started fresh, literally. Yeah. So it didn't matter that AJ Styles had lost at WrestleMania.
No.
Because he won the next, they started fresh. And he should have won in retrospect now. He definitely should have won that match.
Fuck yeah. In retrospect.
Yeah. Even at the time.
In spect.
In spect.
It didn't even need it to be retro.
just fully in spect.
As it's happening, spect.
In current spec.
Yes.
In current spec, he should have won.
Yes.
But they hit a reset button, and then they're talking about how this is the new era. And I feel like this is kind of an important pay-per-view, even though maybe it isn't, because the next pay-per-view is in 3 fucking weeks.
Mm-hmm. Is that Extreme?
No, what is this one? Backlash?
Payback.
Right? And then after that is Payback, and then Extreme Rules. Isn't that right?
I think so. Paybacklash. They merged them.
This is Paybacklash?
Paybacklash.
Are you sure it isn't Extreme Black Loop rules?
When it comes to the World Wrestling Federation, I am sure of nothing.
That's true.
Because they aren't.
No, why would they be?
Shane McMahon, when he left, talk about Shane McMahon a little bit, he left the World Wrestling Federation, and that was to go and get pay-per-view, a company pay-per-view on in China.
In China.
Of course, she's dead now.
Are you blaming Shane?
Hmm? No. I'm just segueing to China.
Okay.
Because she's dead.
Well, you know, the truth
was... In the holy fuck shock of all shock news, China dies young of a drug overdose. Who the fuck saw that coming?
As usual, I figured you'd have something to say about this, but I was going to talk payback, but we'll talk about this.
We're going to talk about payback after payback's happened.
That's true.
Because by the time people hear this, payback will actually already have happened, so no one will give a fuck about a preview.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's important, because the point is, that I was saying is I just want to say that we'll see whether or not they're going to, if Vince, we'll know after this pay-per-view if Vince McMahon's hitting the panic button and going, fucking ratings down 18% more this week. See, we shouldn't push these new small guys. Get it back on John Cena and Randy Orton right away.
Right.
Like we'll see right away if they have the conviction to go through with this new kind of talent initiative.
The new WWE generation.
Yes, that's kind of going on.
Yes.
So, I have to blow my nose.
Really?
I had a cold last week and I still sometimes have to blow my nose.
Really?
Yeah, so... Well, should I do that?
Go ahead and do that. I'll talk about China being dead. Okay. You know, nothing's
going. I already got a chance to talk. I was invited when she died on the Stick Boy Network, so I talked a little bit about it already. But you have not had your chance yet to get your views about how great China was out there.
And no one has heard yours. So this is great. We both have a chance to talk about it. But nah, I mean, she burst on the scene, right? She was a very unique character.
Unique. Should I put this in the paper shredder?
Yeah. Ugh, I don't know. It might jam it. But I mean, she was just basically she was a bodybuilding bitch, and you didn't have those there.
And when you say bitch, you mean she was a mean bitch. Like,
yeah,
that was the character.
That was the character. It was this butch bitch bodybuilding thing, and so it was unique, and she was the bodyguard, and you know, and at first. You know, she would beat the shit out of the guys or low blow the guys, but they couldn't touch.
The gimmick was, they couldn't hit her back, right?
Because she's a woman. And so, you know, immediately, you know, Hunter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was not a We Talk Wrestling podcast until you pass gas.
Yes, exactly. Especially talking about China. But, she brought Hunter up to that next level. Because Hunter was just a guy.
Hunter could not get over with Curtis Hughes as his bodyguard.
Well, Hunter couldn't. Yeah, Hunter couldn't get over. Period.
No, he couldn't.
So China got him over.
Yeah.
To that next level, and then Sean got him to that next level, and then it was DX, and off to the races. It was that they talk about opportunity and seizing opportunity and what have you. China was his opportunity.
Yes.
The start of his run.
And hey, he's the one who saw her and thought, hey, this will work. Like, I mean, it's not like he didn't come up with or do his part to get her in. I mean, they saw and thought, a chick bodyguard that big will get me heat.
Oh, yeah. Him and Sean were bugging Vince for ages. And Shane.
Yeah.
Shane was the one that finally said, you know, this could be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And got it in. So. It's really interesting. We had the DX, we put back up on the Twitter machine the DX P anal from the Rumble a few years ago, just because timely they were talking about Joni China.
They talk very fondly about her during that during that P anal.
And I mean, it is what it is, and you know, they got a video, somewhat of a video for her, not the full blown video.
No, I think more than most people expected she'd get.
I figured
she'd get something, but
I didn't think she'd get shit.
I did.
I thought she'd get the picture, like blackjack, and that was it.
No, I figured she'd get more,
but she just got like a, you know, it was like an instrumental-y kind of thing. Like it wasn't like a, they didn't pay the rights for a song like they did with Randy Savage or Piper or Dusty or anything like that. They just
she arguably got more than Piper.
No, she didn't get any more.
She got more Piper because she got a collection WWE Network.
That's true. They have a collection on WWE Network, and they never put up a Piper's pit. Well, they didn't have collections back then. The only thing they did...
Well, they could have done fucking something.
All they did was that table for three that was coming out anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That was all they did. But, so she's dead, and no one's really surprised, and that's really all I have to say about it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I don't really have any fond memories of China, per se.
No, I mean, I'm not going to... Like know? You say, a lot of people, like, as soon as she died, oh, she's a trailblazer.
Eyebrow raiser.
And she's, she's...
All around smacking
She
down.
Should be in their Hall of Fame. She should be in the Observer Hall of Fame and things like that, I heard. And I was like, no. I don't like when somebody passes away that all of a sudden they get elevated to sainthood.
Yes.
She was a person who was... I think she probably had a kind heart. But she had a messed up head, and she probably suffered from some sort of psychological issues. I don't know, were ever properly diagnosed.
Sure.
But she self-medicated to the point where she passed away. She got her push because she was on steroids. She was a shitty wrestler, but she had a charisma, no question about it, and she was a big star. And I don't think I never think to myself when somebody passes away, let's just elevate them to sainthood like so many people. I'm like, let's look at them full self.
Yeah.
Their full self, because that's, you don't do justice to their challenges they've overcome or to who they really were if you just elevate them to sainthood like so many people are doing. So it's the same thing. I mean, I'm like, okay, whatever. She had her good and her bad. I think it's pretty obvious it's out there. But I, you know, there's a lot of bullshit that's come out. Like, oh, she was on her way to a big comeback in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, that was one. Another one was Vivid saying, oh, she was just contacting us to do more porn videos. And I'm like, oh, this is bullshit. Like, people will say whatever they can to get themselves.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right?
But, I mean, it probably is the ending that we all figured it would be, unfortunately.
I think she should. I mean, I see her as a World Wrestling Federation Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I always did.
Given their, you know, I mean, fucking Jackie Moore just went in.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I see that. But, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, I think the biggest surprise to me is that they're going to be donating her brain to that Alamalu.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, to that Dr. Alamalu from the Concussion movie.
I wasn't sure if they actually were or not. I know there's some people saying
that. It's surprising to me because, like, she has a brain. And you never know that talking to her in the last 6 years.
Six?
Six is when she really went off the rails, I think. It was probably in that about 2010 part where she just started to... Like, she'd always have the things... I mean, yeah, she was never clearly a Rhodes Scholar.
No.
But she kind of did her porn and did her thing. But then 2010, I think, is when it all kind of stopped and she was just saying absolutely anything for attention. That's to me when it got to be that, like, she was just.
What do you mean when she was accusing Hunter and Xbox?
Yeah, Hunter and Xbox.
You know, the thing is,
going to those extremes. And
yes, okay, she was. She did do that. And people were automatically like, oh, she's, you know, she's doing that for attention. But I hate when people just immediately dismiss something like that, because those accusations are serious enough that the. I'd rather you say that it's possible and explore it than just dismiss it because the person's crazy. Because after all, the alternative is so awful. So, but
yeah, except for I'm going to dismiss it because this person's crazy.
Well, she was. She's a troubled individual.
Oh. And that was the understatement of the week.
Week.
Oh, man. Fuck. Okay, so that's China. We'll move on. Samoa Joe is the NXT World Heavyweight Champion, you know, in front of a packed house in Lowell, Massachusetts.
The same building where I believe, what was it that happened? The same building where Ric Flair regained the title from Randy Savage, I believe?
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah. That's right. Is it Rick that... Yes, it was, that's right, because when Razor Ramon... interfere.
That's right.
Yes,
the same building.
I believe that was September of 1992.
Yeah. So, what time of the day?
I believe that happened at 6:14 p.m.
6:14 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern time.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
They had to go on early. Ric Flair had to go make another shot.
Yeah. It's another 60 minutes. They started the match at 5:14.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, that table for three I was telling you about is just so awesome when they're talking about wrestling, and then all of a sudden they talk about, like, Tully Blanchard going to prisons to talk about God, and Ric Flair could give a fuck, clearly. Like, he's just looking at his watch and, like, looking around.
Woo! We talk about when we get drinking.
Fuck.
We should call Rick. He's a good guy to have on the show. Should we call him?
Let's call him.
Should we call him?
Call him. You call him.
Okay, hold on. You should really get it.
This is
Woo! Ric Flair!
Moo!
Yes?
Moo!
Yes?
Moo!
Yes?
Moo!
Yes?
Moo!
Yes?
Woo! Moo!
Yes?
Will you pay my plane ticket?
No, I'm not gonna play it.
Rick, miss your flight. I already missed my flight. Miss your flight, he said. I already missed my flight. Woo! Will you play? Woo! For a plane ticket.
No, I'm not going to pay for your plane. No.
What?
No.
Mo, are you telling me? Are you going to look me in the eye and tell me, man to man?
Why am I holding up a fake phone to my ear on this radio podcast like somebody...
I don't know, Mo, but you're telling me that you're not going to pay for my plane ticket.
No, I'm not gonna. No, no way.
Woman Mo?
Uh-huh. Yes?
I want you...
Yes?
...to go kill yourself.
Oh, he just hung up. He's mad at you. He's mad at you. Wow.
Wow, Rick. He said Rick. Go kill yourself.
Rick.
Does he think I'm Natalia?
I think he may.
Should we call Smithheart then?
You have big boobs like her.
Because that's a relative of hers. Let's call Smithheart.
Okay.
Smithheart was on the Jericho podcast, and it was the greatest podcast of all time.
Really?
I'm going to give you a preview of what it was like.
Okay.
By pretending I'm Smithheart. So let's call him, and I'll pretend to be him.
Okay.
Okay.
Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep. A beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep.
Bring. Bring. Beep.
Ring. Ring.
Hello?
Hello, Smith.
Yeah, this is Smith. Who's this?
This is Addy.
Hey, Addy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Well, tell me a little bit about your life.
Okay,
If the listeners are here, who is Smith Hart?
I'm the oldest of the Hart family there.
Really?
What I did was I was born in the United States as the oldest of the Harts, and we talked about them, and then Keith was one of the Harts, and he was kind of like Dad's pet, and then Bruce was the other one who was kind of like Dad's pet, and then all of a sudden it would be Keith who was like the Dad's pet, and then because Bruce would be like Mom's pet before Bruce became like Dad's pet, and then we would go to the beach, and then the beach they would have a band playing with a bassist who was black, and then he would be playing with the band, and they would have all the music, and we would sit there, and we would talk about all this stuff that we'd be eating, because we'd be eating stuff that's sugar, like that would be getting rid of us, getting us cavities, because we never had sugar growing up in our house, in the Stu Hart house. Like, Stu didn't have sugar, like, all he would have was maybe tea would be, like, the biggest, worstest thing that he would have, you know, but he wouldn't have any tea in his house, you know, except for when he had tea, or maybe coffee, maybe he would have that, but anyways, we'd be at the beach, and we'd be having O'Henry's and potato chips and things that would sit there and get rid of our teeth, and anyways, that's how it was that Bruce ended up going over and the angel of death there, that because he, you know, he booked it.
Oh, I have to go now. Smith. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, chap.
You have to listen to this podcast. That's what it's like. I'm not kidding.
Okay, like, so here's the thing. Here's what you're telling me. You're telling me that's what it's like,
yes.
Yet in the same time telling me I have to go listen.
You have to hear this thing. It's unbelievable. The part where he's sitting there and he goes, and they said something about, oh, your mom, and my mom, she was putting on weight. And he goes, oh, your mom was putting on weight? Yeah, so she was putting on the weight. So, you know, she said there to me, and she said, I heard the marijuana could maybe help with your weight. So she said to me, if you know anybody who might have the marijuana. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I got one right here. It's ready to go, Mom. Don't worry. It's already ready to go. And so I gave my mom Stu and Helen, you know, Helen with a... Then Stu came in, you know, and Stu didn't want Mom smoking marijuana, you know. So it's just like, it's wow. The most unbelievable, like, stream of consciousness. Like, for no reason, he was throwing the bass player in the band was black or something like that. And just like... You know, when he would talk there and say, we didn't have cavities. Like, we were cavity-free, you know, but we didn't have the cavititis. You know, just making up words.
That cavititis is awful.
It's the most incredible
ever had
thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So Samoa Joe being the champion.
Oh, yeah. Samoa Joe, you're world heavyweight champion.
Is that leading into...
Finn Balor.
Like, is that leading into tonight? Has to be.
I hope so. You know, that's, again, it's...
In a little bit. That's actually another reason why... You want to see this pay-per-view. Like, the top four matches in this pay-per-view are great.
The thing with the... to me, the best thing that happens is because... I mean, Roman Reigns is winning. There's no doubt.
I don't know that he's winning. He's retaining.
Yeah, okay. He's keeping the belt, right? He's going to win by DQ. Or he's keeping the belt. Anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
The thing that would happen to me, the best thing that I would like to see, is that the Bullet Club fucks over AJ... And is the Balor Club, and then it's Balor against AJ.
Yeah, the thing is,
that's the match to me. That's the program for me.
The thing is, you could do so many different, like, you can go 100 different directions. You could have all four of them together in a group, with Balor and AJ and
that'd be good too.
And Gallows and Anderson, you could do
I've said it before, and that I wanted the group with the four of them that eventually then you spill off and it's Balor and AJ after you've at WrestleMania next year where you've built it for that year.
Well, what I do is I do this is if I'm booking.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I do AJ gets screwed tonight
The Bullet Club?
The Bullet Club. But he's supposed to win. Like, they're trying to help him and they screw it up.
Okay.
And he doesn't win. But it looks like they tried to help him, but they screwed it up. Right? Mm-hmm. And then I have Shane come out the next night and be like, gonna be somebody brand new who's never gotten a championship again. We're gonna continue this new initiative, and the next guy to get the championship at Extreme Rules is Balor. And then I do the exact same storyline
mm-hmm.
with them trying to help Balor, and Balor saying, I don't need your help. I don't need your help. And then I have a match where it's AJ and Finn versus Gallows and Anderson.
Okay.
And it's like, we're on one guy's side, but you don't know which one. And they're both denying that it's them. Kind of like, a little bit like the NWA, when the NWO formed. A little bit of that, you know, mm-hmm. is Lex Luger, is he really with them? Isn't he with them? That type of deal, right? Like this, who's he really with? Who's gonna get screwed? Which one's gonna get screwed?
Yeah.
And at the end, they both get the shit kicked out of them by Anderson and Gallows and their real leader, Samoa Joe. And then you know, you can bring in somebody to be their partner against Samoa Joe. Let's just say Sami Zayn, right?
Yeah.
Like, you make Sami Zayn their third. And then you could have those three, Gallows, Anderson, and Joe versus Zayn. Or no, Shinsuke instead of Zayn.
Shit sticky.
Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura. You have Nakamura. So you have one three-man group is Nakamura, Balor, and AJ. Another three-man group is, that's your babyface group. Your heel group is Joe, Gallows, and Anderson.
Right.
And then you have a third group that's your tweeners, and that's the Shield. And you reunite the Shield.
Yeah.
And now you could sit there and go for months. You could have 1 month, you could have Seth Rollins versus AJ.
Yeah.
The next month you could have AJ versus Ambrose, or AJ Styles
mm-hmm.
versus Reigns and Ambrose.
And hell,
and you could have Anderson and Gallows versus Joe or Joe versus Reigns. Like you can mix them up and down. And you have fresh matches for a year.
Let's not forget about the Wyatts.
And you have the Wyatts out there too.
So, no, and the League of Nations.
Or maybe not.
Oh wait,
but you have the New Day.
Yes, you do. It's a New Day.
But you could have those three main groups with fresh matches if you didn't waste them on TV.
Yeah.
If you didn't waste these fresh matches, like 1 week you would have AJ and, like, say the AJ and Shinsuke versus Gallows and Anderson at one pay per view. And another match would be Joe versus Reigns, you know, and like, yeah, I mean, it would be great. Then you'd have Balor versus Ambrose. Like, is it like all on the same pay-per-view, and then you just keep mixing them up.
Yeah, and you just keep going, and then Rollins is back, and fuck.
Like, that, to me, that which storyline was and match quality was would carry you through till probably the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and like you said, though, the problem is that Randy Orton will return and John Cena will return, and but the one thing that tells me that they're a little bit scared shitless in terms of ratings is that John Cena is coming back on Memorial Day, and I expect a video. On the payback here, hyping his return,
and I expect him to be booed out of the building.
Of course, but they want a rating pop.
That's true,
and that's what they're gonna hype it.
Yeah.
For whatever, a couple weeks, and hope that ratings don't plummet on a holiday.
But for me, I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, hey, that's like fresh matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up and down. You'd have six new people and three guys that haven't been there for years, only been there for like 4 years, 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so you could just, it's all fresh matches, and I think it would work.
Well, I understand the
then you could have the super dicks. You're right. Cena, Orton, and...
Sheamus.
Sheamus.
Yeah. Well, the propensity for Shane here is that because he's been doing this and what, and for Vince, it's, I understand that Vince, he's been walking the streets at night.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to see when there's so many around.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't like being stuck in a town.
No.
The streets all change, except for maybe the names.
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't got time for the games.
Mm-hmm.
Because he needs them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He needs them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Huh? Where the streets
little
are.
Little patience.
I've been walking the streets at night.
I just need a little patience.
They don't have the patience for storylines. That is the biggest...
That's what's fucking them. I understand.
That's it, yeah.
So we decided to sing Patience here, an AC/DC song.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. That, if they have patience, WrestleMania 33 will be fantastic.
Yes.
So it'll suck.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. I mean, they're putting it all out there. They've got, you know, they're loading.
But again, this is it. Like the ratings have not been good since WrestleMania.
The ratings have not been good.
No, but they're getting even
for a year.
Yeah, I know, but they're continuing to go down at an alarming pace. And this with AJ and these people now getting prominent roles. And it is though, because it's the same thing. Remember when WCW was like 96, ratings were going up. 97, the product started to suck, but ratings went up. 98, the product was shit.
Yes.
Absolute shit. And the ratings went up because momentum had raised it to that point. Well, this is, now you're at the opposite. Even if WWE put on good programming for a year, it would take a year of good programming.
Well, it was
just to flatline the ratings to keep them from dropping, no matter what you do.
97.
Because you fucked them so bad.
97.
But they fucked up for so many years now, the WWE.
Like when you're, exactly, when you're looking at 1997 and how they're starting to finally put together some programming there with your Undertaker and Mankind's and Steve Austin and the Hart Foundation and Shawn Michaels all being
DX
great things. Well, not even DX was like, DX came in like, literally.
Well, they were 97.
Yeah, but like October, November.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, they rode the whole year, but you had, you know, the Nation, you know, was still, there and so you had stories. And you had some things were working, but you had a 2-hour show that had, you could look forward to 20 minutes of Hart Foundation. You could look forward to 20 minutes of Steve Austin. You could look forward to 20 minutes of Shawn Michaels. And then as it went on, you could look forward to an hour of Steve Austin.
Yes, yes.
You know, 20 minutes of Shawn Michaels, 20 minutes of Bret Hart, and then your show was basically over.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, it was great. But it still took them, you know, as we've said it a million times. Austin 316 says, I just whipped your ass, happened July of 1996.
Yes.
They win the ratings April of 1998.
Yes.
Like, it takes that long. And that's...
To switch momentum. So, yeah. I mean, just if WWE is doing good storylines now, I would hope the people in the company would realize, okay, the ratings have been on the slide for so long.
Yeah.
That it's not these new guys. These guys are the solution.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take time. It's going to take good quality programming. And it's been pretty good. Like, this is so much better than a year ago.
Yes.
After WrestleMania. So much better.
And the key, not just Ambrose, but the key.
Well, Ambrose isn't the key anymore.
No.
Ambrose is not the key.
No. Ambrose is the key, but they broke the lock.
Even then, I'm not sure. Ambrose, to me, was exposed when he walked up to Brock Lesnar the first time. And I went, fuck, am I supposed to believe this guy could beat that guy in a fight?
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't.
That coupled with him walking out with a potted plant. But,
yeah.
I mean, the thing now, to me, the key is in what happened to put WWF in that downward spiral is Brett, we talked about it a million times, Brett never got that rub. He was supposed to get the Warrior. He was supposed to get Savage. He was supposed to get Jake. Nothing.
Guys were supposed to put him over, those guys that never happened.
And they all left, right? So now guys were made up as stars on their own, essentially.
Yes.
But CM Punk leaves.
Yes.
You know, Daniel Bryan's hurt.
Yes.
Right? So there's two guys right there. Now you have Randy Orton and John Cena, who are your stars that you built, your names. They gotta build something where John Cena gets a guy over.
Yes.
Like the guy over. Not Roman Reigns, but he needs to get, like...
Roman Reigns is the guy. He's not a good guy.
Oh, right.
He's a bad guy. He is the guy.
Right.
No, yes. He's not.
He's not a liver guy. He's not your dog guy.
He's the guy. He's not the guy.
But fuck. And then you got... exactly. So Cena needs to get into a position where he was heel after beating The Undertaker or something at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Puts AJ over, puts Sami Zayn over, puts whoever they're going to pick over, or whatever. Whoever's getting there over. And in the meantime, Samoa Joe.
Shinsuke. Whoever it is.
Yeah, and Randy Orton's got to be
there's options be for guys the same. Who might be the guy.
Yeah.
There's options at least.
And Randy Orton's got to do the same. And that's what I mean. Like, right now is your level of guys. Like, I wrote a thing a long time ago that I think compared, I want to say it was... Was it 2012 to 1995, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
And now we're at the point where we're actually at 1996.
Yes.
Because we've got so many guys that if given a chance, could actually, Kevin Owens, we haven't talked about, you know, could get up there. It's unfortunate in this whole...
Now, I don't think any of them are at the level of Austin or Rock, but I do think they could be at the level, there are guys who could be at the level of Cena or...
Orton.
I was going to say Triple H. Mankind even.
Yeah.
Like that. Or Sting. Like at that level. Austin and Rock, that's rare. But, there's been Austin, Rock, and Hogan, maybe Savage, and maybe Flair. Like in the last 30 years. Like there's maybe Dusty. Like there's... And Piper. Like there's... Like I'd say that's seven people. In 30 years, there's like seven
We could probably find 10 guys.
Yeah.
In the last, 30 years that are there. Tippy toppers.
Yeah.
And I don't know that any of those guys, and I mean, especially The Rock. I mean, The Rock is just in a class all by himself in terms of, you know.
So I mean, you can't compare it to that. I don't know that any of these people are going to be that. But I do know that one of the things that they're really lacking, they made the decision when The Rock left and Austin left and all these people, let's start promoting the brand. Let's promote the brand. The brand is the star. You're coming to see the brand.
Right.
You're not coming to see a star anymore. You're coming to see the brand.
You're coming to see the World Wrestling
Federation. That means you're not going to have the highs and the lows. But again, I'll repeat, you don't have the highs.
Yeah.
And so you don't have people that the stars aren't larger than life because they're always behind the brand.
Yeah.
And the brand is presented as a heel.
Well, and the
in storylines.
The other thing is that you don't have, again, the brand cannot be larger than life without stars being larger than life.
No.
No one is going... Entertainment Tonight is going to be not going to be talking about the World Wrestling Federation or Access or any of these news programs even. Like, it's not going to be on... You know, you're not going to get main coverage on Rolling Stone. Or, I mean, they've bought time on ESPN.
Yes.
They've purchased that. They don't want... ESPN doesn't want to go out of its way to talk about WWF.
No.
Quite the opposite is that I'm sure they have an agreement and they can't wait for it to be fucking over.
Yes.
But without guys, without Hogan, without Piper, without, you know, Savage, all that stuff, no one's talking about WWF.
Look at UFC. Right? When UFC doesn't have Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor, people aren't talking about them. But when those ones are on, they get the coverage.
Yes.
And people will pay for it.
Yeah.
You gotta have the stars. And then the brand itself has enough prestige that it's never gonna drop by 300,000 buys. But WWE, it's okay. The brand is gonna be strong enough because the brand is established. But you gotta promote stars. They don't do a good enough job of creating and promoting stars.
What they don't understand about branding, what they're just shockingly, their chief brand officer is mixing the boat here.
Mm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
She's been so good at everything else she's done.
Who is it?
Hmm?
Stephanie.
Stephanie is called the chief brand officer. That's gonna blow my title.
That's gonna that makes me blow my nose.
That blows your mind, doesn't
it? Yeah.
But yes, I agree. They think that the WWE is that if people are gonna go see the WWE, people are not gonna go see Dean Ambrose or Dan Bryan or Roman Reigns. They're gonna go see the WWE. The thing with it is, the way that the brand is...
Talk loud to talk over me blowing my nose.
The way the branding is successful, though, you talked about the Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, no one is going to order a mixed martial arts pay-per-view. No one is going to see mixed martial arts tonight. People are going to see the UFC.
Bellator a little bit, but no, you're right.
It's UFC.
It's mainly
what's
UFC.
Going on in UFC? Oh, is that guy a UFC fighter? Well, he fights in Bellator. Yeah, but that's UFC, right?
Yeah. That's actually it. You're right. When they draw money, it's like they have Kimbo Slice. They're not going. They probably still think they're watching UFC.
Yeah,
it's like
that's what it is.
It's UFC. Rampage Jackson is fighting for Bellator. They're going, oh, let's go watch that UFC fighter, Rampage Jackson.
Yes, because that's what MMA is now, UFC, because that's branding. Wrestling is WWE because that's branding, right? To a certain degree. Really? There's the odd person that talks about the WWF still.
That feels better.
But that's branding. That's how you've branded, is that it's I'm gonna go get a Coke, even if it's a friggin' co-op cola. I'm getting a Coke, right?
Yeah,
that's
true.
Branding, right?
You never go up. Can I have your?
You just fucking blew your nose with a Kleenex, okay?
Yeah.
Not a tissue.
That's true.
Right? So
I used the Kleenex.
The UFC and WWF or WWE are in that.
And you never go up to a restaurant and say, I'll have your house cola. You never do. Hold on, I'm going to blow my nose again.
Oh, all right. With a Kleenex. Doing his best Tugboat Thomas impersonation here. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I just think that that's...
Oh, that's good radio right there.
So yeah, that is tremendous. Who blows their nose on a podcast?
This guy.
But yeah, I think that's what we do. I think that's where you brand, and but the brand is only as good as the stars on it. And if you can bring some of these guys up, I'm excited about the future because I see the guys on there and the matches will at least be like, you know what I mean? I don't.
It's a little thing like that package they did with,
Sammy and
Owens. So I'm the victim here. So amazing.
Yeah.
Like that got over the stars. That gets them over the stars. That's not the brand.
Well,
and they could have done that again. They could have done that same thing I know you say you can't do the same thing twice, but if it's effective, yes, you can. They could have done that, and it would have been more effective for Natalya and Charlotte talking about the family histories and whatnot.
Because it's not even the same thing. So you could have done that.
Yeah.
And because
and it would have been more effective.
There's the family histories, there's the Roadblock match, and there's the NXT TakeOver match.
Yes.
Like, so they have match history to go to as well in terms of the same. And that's what these are. These are feuds that you're going, and especially someone like Natalya, who they don't, like, Sasha's their person that they want to do, and then they're going to have Bayley coming up, right?
But they should. I mean, I don't think Natalya's about to get the belt here in a little bit. I think she should, though, because I think if Natalya got the belt, all of a sudden, instead of having just three people that people see as being that top girl, that you can intermix. The same thing I was talking about, the nine people, how you can intermix them at different matches.
Yeah.
If you only have three, you're going to burn that out. They've already had the
they've
three
already stuff. Burned it out,
if you have a fourth one, and you have to make Natalya seem at that level, though. If she doesn't get it after all these years and this is her shot again and she doesn't get it, then it's like next time people aren't going to buy her. You need somebody else. It either has to be her or Paige.
Well,
you need one more person to put, and there's Bayley as well.
Well,
but you need one more person to push this whole storyline forward. Maybe ideally three more.
You need a heel because you need what you need to be doing right now. And unfortunately, I think that might be Tamina or not Tamina, Naomi, who isn't that bad, but still.
Not the level of what we've seen here.
And it could be Emma, actually, because it's Emma and Becky right now.
Yeah.
And if Sasha wins at SummerSlam, you've got to have a rematch, and you've got to have someone going in, like, November-ish, October-ish, for her. And how do you... The time is to heat that person up now.
Yes.
Right? To have a couple wins. So you could do Emma beating Becky, Emma beating Natalya, and then Emma's ready for Sasha. After Sasha's beaten Charlotte and then won the rematch... Then you go, and then, again, there's just all sorts of different... The nice part is that there's so many fucking actual, you know, call them competent wrestlers now.
There actually is.
Is that you can mix and match for a while, so it's just a matter of, okay, who do I
put with these people? You have to pick, what are the three... Well, you have three. What are the four, five, and six that are at that level that people will see? If they contend for the title, people will buy it. Because one of the problems that was a problem... for the women's division, the Divas division at the time, was all of a sudden Alicia Fox would get hot for 2 weeks and then she'd get the title shot, but nobody bought that she could be the champion.
Yeah, she's that month's person.
Yeah. They have to get away from that. So if they only have the three people,
yeah,
that's gonna play out very quickly. So you have to start. You have to actually say those are it. Those are the six. Those six we're gonna elevate always above the other eight female competitors, and they're always gonna beat them because they're the top six. Unless somebody else comes along that can get to that level and shows they can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my fear is it's gonna be, okay, yeah, Alicia Fox will win for 2 weeks and then fucking, Tamina will win for three weeks and she'll be the one to get a shot. And it's like, well, but she was losing for months before that.
Yeah.
And that's something that they've done this with the men's division. They do this with the U.S. title.
The Intercontinental title all the time.
So this is something that they need to improve upon. Again, we talk about patience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But this is the same thing. You have to say, okay, these are the six women that are gonna be the ones who we can always interchange different matches of good matches with, and the people will always buy could be champion.
Yeah.
And book them that way.
These are the people who we're going to protect.
Yes, right? Exactly.
But who knows? We'll see how it goes. But why don't we go now and watch the payback?
Because I promised EA he could call in.
Who?
EA all day.
EA Sports?
EA.
It's in the game.
It's in the game.
Okay, so let's call.
I promise him he's getting ready for his pay per view match here.
Okay.
With Big Cass.
Okay.
And I promise him we would let him call in, give a shout out, and he get the WTW bump.
Okay.
Going into his number one contendership match against the Outlaw Villains.
He's going to have his We Talk Wrestling moment?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Then, all right, well, let me just call him up here. Beep, boop, 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 beep, bop, boop, bop, bop, boop, boop, bop, boop. Ring. Ring. I'm using the phone that Jimmy Hart used for his Rick Barron. Ring. 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 Hello?
My name is Enzo Amore.
Hi, Enzo.
And I'm a bona fide G and a certified stud. And you can't teach that.
Oh.
And this here's Big Mo. He's 5,000 pounds. And you can't teach fact. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm good, Enzo. How are you?
I'm good. Is this Addy?
This is Addy, yeah.
You're like sitting there working with Mo.
Yeah.
How you doing? You know what I'm saying?
I'm a little...
How you doing?
I'm a little squished.
Yeah, I bet. That guy's so fat, he can sell shade. You know what I'm saying?
How much would he sell it for?
Oh, a ton.
Oh.
A ton.
You know what?
In fact, if he wanted to cut off 10 pounds of ugly fat, he'd have to cut off his fucking head. You know what I'm saying?
I've been working with this guy for 5 years, and he doesn't sell.
No, he doesn't sell. No, that's true. Yeah, I imagine he was conceived on the highway, because that's where most accidents happen. You know what I'm saying?
No. What are you saying?
Know what I'm saying?
What?
How you doing?
Huh.
How you doing?
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. The producer of this show is a teacher.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So she's quite offended because she feels that she can teach that.
Oh, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm good.
That's good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I have to go now, Enzo.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Enzo Amore. Another part of the new World Wrestling Federation generation.
The new World Wrestling Federation generation. I stepped out of the room for a little bit, but I thought he might have said something mean about me. Is that can't be true, though, right? We're buddies.
He didn't say anything that anybody else doesn't.
All right, we're gonna go watch Payback.
Let's go watch Payback, and to all of you listeners, we'll be right back. So Payback in the books.
Payback in the books.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing we want to say is...
What?
Enzo Amore.
Yes. Yeah. I know, you totally you distracted him. Normally he's preparing before a big match where he's going to become the number one contender for the Tag Team Championship. But you had to call him on your rotary phone and just mess with his mind. I don't blame you, because if you were going to try to mess with anyone's mind, you would think it would be him.
So obviously when we did that bit, we had no idea, because we did it before,
the pay-per-view.
Oh.
That an injury would take place with the man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. We were supposed to give him the WTW bump. Give him his WTW moment.
His We Talk Wrestling moment.
Unfortunately, he took another bump.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty hard. I think that's actually probably, in some ways, that might be the biggest story on the show. Because
mm-hmm.
The Payback was a really, really angle-heavy wrestling show.
Yeah.
It was a very sports entertainment-heavy show.
Yes.
Most matches had an angle instead of a finish.
Yes.
And
this was the kickoff to that.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, Enzo, it's a, what would you call it?
Fuck up.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
it was just an accident.
It was an accident, right? Like, the guy got thrown into the ropes, and when you see it in the replay, you see, okay, he bangs his head, but you're used to guys kind of banging their head all the time. It's only when you see it in real time, you see the tremendous speed at which he was traveling when it happened. So, and it used to be, if I heard a guy got a concussion, I think, okay, he'll be out for 2 weeks, like, tops.
Yeah.
And now, In the new era, the new We Talk Wrestling era.
This is a new era for We Talk Wrestling.
True, because now we're trying to do some shows on Sunday nights.
And
we'll be trying to be doing your shows regularly on Sundays.
On Sunday nights. And also, we like to make fun of the guests before they get injured.
Yes,
this is a new era.
This is a new era.
This is a proactive.
He wasn't really
era.
Making fun of him. He was really making fun of us. Really more.
Well, more than, you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, what an asshole. Yeah. I mean, no. No. Yeah. It's like you don't know anymore how long an injury like this is going to be, or even if this is the injury that they'd say that if I don't know his history of concussions. I mean, he played football and stuff in the past and. He didn't really wrestle in the independence.
Given his style of haircut, I think I do know his history.
Anyways, it's obviously a pretty severe one. He's going to be gone for a while, but we'll see how it goes. We don't even know what the actual at this point ourselves. We presume the Vaudevillains are going to win anyways. We presume that the Dudley boys were going to get involved. Neither one of these things obviously happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're... Enzo's not the talker of the two. I mean, he really just does his shtick. Or, sorry, and not Enzo. I mean, a big cast. But I think the best thing to do would just be to have him come out and give a real speech tomorrow, not written for him. Just let him come out and say, you know, I've known the guy for a long, long time, because he has legitimately known him for a long, long time.
Yep.
He's hurt. I've talked to him. He says he's going to be back. And we want to thank you for all the support, and that's it. And you know, kind of just disappear for a bit.
Thank him for all the cards and letters.
And then you should be doing the Owen Hart, Austin 316. Owen 316 says I just broke your neck thing.
Yes.
If he is coming back and he's going to be okay, then the Vaudevillains should try and get heat off of it. As that's wrestling. Like as callous as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
They should try and get the heat off of it.
I think, I mean, I just finished watching that, actually, that Raw from 1997, where Owen was taking credit for taking out Steve Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. So, yeah. It's a very, it's just anytime something like that happens, it's tough for the crowd, it's tough for the performers, you know, to kind of grab it back. They did, I think, a pretty good job.
I thought, and the
crowd, but yeah, really.
The thing was too.
Obviously, we like Enzo.
We
wish him the best here.
And I mean, it happened in the opening match.
Was that the opening match? Well,
the pay-per-view. They had Baron Corbin and Ziggler in the pre-show, where Ziggler, you know, beat Baron Corbin, so Baron Corbin's now in, you know, see ya. And another mid-card geek.
I don't understand why the fuck you do it move.
Yeah, you've added another mid-card.
But showing, though, that it's not just guys like Tyler Breeze that they're going to fuck up and do this with.
Yeah.
That they can take anybody, no matter how big they are.
You know?
And potential they might have.
It's the kind of company they are.
Yeah.
You know? They'll, yeah. But, so they fucked up, you know, They fucked him up and yeah. whatever. Fine. Cares.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't think anybody's like, nobody's going to be sitting there going, oh, they fucked up this guy, he's so talented. I think people are just going to go, oh, okay, well, he's...
Yeah, they fucked him up.
They fucked him up, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, we had that, and then we had Kalisto and the Ryback, and Kalisto beats him.
Yeah, and in another, like, why did you bother booking it if he's going to beat him again? Except for the fact that it was a much better match.
Yeah.
Than they had last time. In fact, it was a better match than, according to Jerry King and Lawler, Kalisto just gave him the best match of his career, where he beat him. And so,
yes.
Yeah, because it's real. That's what you do is you praise a guy for losing.
Yeah, anyways, for having the best match.
But yeah, Kalisto looked generally good. I mean, it was always going to be a few spots, but Kalisto had definitely a potential. But to me, the really, I mean, we talk about the injury to Cat or to Enzo. There could have been worse an injury to Kalisto.
Kalisto did this corkscrew motherfuck thing, yeah. and darn near killed himself. Ryback literally saved his life because Ryback ran in and caught him.
Yeah, because he came up way, way short, and Ryback had to run and catch him, get in position to catch him, to put him over.
His head was, his head was literally coming down at the hardest part of the ring apron there on the corner.
Well, yeah, in the corner, and outside, right by the ring. So, I mean, it would have been a nasty injury if Ryback doesn't run and heads up move and catches him and then they act like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then they act like it was, it was a great spot and he really nailed Ryback. But really, Ryback just caught him and let him down softly and then sold and saved the guy's life. So, good for Ryback.
Yeah. Some rare praise for Mr. Ryback.
Especially there in Chicago where he's doing the CM Punk, he's getting heat off the CM Punk history that they have there.
And
so.
Full bore, like he even did the It's Clobberin Time entrance.
Yes, except for he called it It's Feeding Time.
It's Feeding Time, but he got down on his one knee or whatever. Yeah, he did the Punk. He did the Punk entrance essentially, which was great for heat.
Yeah, it was great for heat. So, I mean, those two matches were actually, I mean, it's weird to. I don't know why you would have your new guy who got the big, big win last month getting the Honor of the Giant Battle Royal. I don't know why you wouldn't just give him momentum and see how far he can go. But it proves once again they brought another guy. It proves to me they brought another guy to the main roster without a plan for him.
Yeah.
Which is what they said they wouldn't do. And it's just they brought him to the main roster with no plan.
But it really reinforces how they've... You know, like we talk about for years and years and years, like with the roster being so deep that maybe they need another title and they've listened to us and they have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and just...
I don't think we say they need another title.
What a valuable tool.
So valuable.
Is Andre the Giant Battle
Everybody
Royal
who
continues
wins that.
To be year in and year out.
Rocket strapped to their fucking back.
Yeah, like they've got it there. They even have the trophy there now. Yeah. For some reason, Baron Corbin... still displays this trophy every match he has. Yeah. But yeah, that's just, it's stupid.
Even he got a good reaction coming out, fairly good reaction coming out, and then he just, I don't know, like, it's almost like, you know what, it's actually the opposite. Right now, it's almost like the company's attitude is, if you're not coming in and getting a great reaction right from the beginning, and people don't love you from the internet, they have no interest in you.
Yeah,
like they're pushing AJ Styles and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens to the degree, you know, the push Finn and these guys, Samoa Joe, like watch them get pushed, and then the guy that's their own guy that they're bringing in, instead of trying to make him, that they'll just, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of what it's been historically.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really weird.
But, yeah, I mean, so we had that, we had, I mean, it wasn't an angle necessarily either that, but the Vaudevillains match and they just stopped it. They didn't announce it. They were just done. No contest.
Yeah, I thought they would continue with it 2-on-1. But they didn't.
But then,
out of respect for the injury.
So. Realized, that they weren't fucking around. I think it was because he was literally out and they didn't want to take any chances, right? Yeah. So.
Stretchered out, legit. Apparently at the hospital. Concussion, legs moving, able to talk a little bit, so.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So, but then we move on to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. So if any two guys were going to get the crowd back in after that weird situation, on this show, it was going to be them. And they did.
Yeah, they were very fortunate that that actually was the next match, because they were able to just go out there and have the best match of the actual night.
Yeah.
And a really good match. Owens wins clean, mm-hmm. then beats up Zayn a little bit, tosses him out of the ring, and then says that he wants to get his IC title back.
Yeah, he wants to reclaim the Intercontinental title, and then he brings Byron Saxton into the ring to say, you know, like, interview me, and does a great job with bullying Saxton. And then he says, well, who do you think is going to win that Intercontinental title match? Because that's up next. He's like, oh, it's up next? Fine, I'll sit on commentary then for that.
Yeah.
And what preceded was the greatest commentary job since Jesse the Body Ventura.
It was pretty great. It was just him basically saying how shitty a commentator all the other guys were while talking about the match.
Yeah. Like,
it was pretty, it was just him fucking running everybody down.
It was basically like, look, you idiots, you all suck. This is how you announce. And then he went and announced.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he didn't just run them down. He ran them down and did their job for them.
Yeah, did a better job
than
them.
And it's like, and then it's like, see, fuckers? Like, this is how you do it. So great. Then it became, as the match was getting to a close, all of a sudden Sami Zayn jumped out of nowhere and attacked Kevin Owens. So they were brawling on the outside. And then they ended up brawling onto the apron. And the ref got distracted as Miz was tapping out to Cesaro's, I believe it, Daniel Lock.
Yeah.
Then he had, and then he, of course, so the ref doesn't see it. Let's just call it
the cross face, please.
I did. But the, synonyms. But the ref didn't see Miz tap, so then...
You have cinnamon?
Hmm?
Cinnamon?
Mm.
I love cinnamon right now.
Toast crunch.
Delicious.
It is.
Again, this is where, like, the first match was a clean finish, and the pre-show matches were clean finishes, but this is where, I mean, the sports entertainment era takes over, right? And even in that first match, like, we suspect that the Dudleys would have gotten involved, but... We never got a chance to see it.
Yeah.
They had obviously a little time to feel. They were, you know, through the rest of the night that the timing was obviously off.
Yeah.
But what you had was, like you say, it was really a setup for, you know, I mean, you have a schmoz at the end and Zayn comes out. Like I say, Zayn is the underdog who always loses but will never stop fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens is the badass.
Yep.
Cesaro is the great wrestler who always just seems to manage to get screwed by situation that something out of his control.
Yeah.
And Miz is the lucky fuck who keeps, who never gets his. And that's like everybody has a role, and everybody played that role tonight perfectly.
Oh yeah.
And then, so it set up this four-way kind of feud for the IC title. I got no problem with that. I mean, I'd like it to see Zayn and Ambrose or Zayn and Owens by themselves a little more. I'd like to see that go on for longer.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them in the world title picture, but that's really not in the card right now. I have no problem with this. At least, and it's three out of four really good guys, and then the Miz with Maurice is not a bad act. So,
yeah,
I'm fine with it.
It's three good guys and a cocksucking motherfucker, and the three good guys will just hopefully
and his wife
with it. Yeah, yeah. So and her husband.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah, what? Oh. But I just think that, it's a good spot for them now, and it was a good match, and got the crowd back going, and then it led over to Jericho and Ambrose, who had a decent enough match.
They had a very good match, except for, I thought the last, like, 2 minutes or so.
Yeah.
It looked like something, I don't know, if it looked like, to me, it looked like Ambrose lost his spot. And Jericho was talking to him and trying to present it like he was talking smack, but kind of just telling him stuff.
Yeah.
And working hard to get himself in position and Ambrose in position to do the last kind of finishing sequence. To me, it looked very, very labored, the finishing sequence, which is too bad because the match itself was really pretty good.
Yeah.
Not as good as obviously the Owens and Zayn match, but pretty damn good until that ending just felt a little off to me.
Yeah.
But at least it was a clean finish, I'd say. And that was the last clean finish. So there was only a couple matches left.
And then the sports entertainment really kicked in. Like, the other one was like a wrestling angle for to set something else up. So I was okay with that. There was an injury. There was a wrestling angle to set something up. There was a match with, you know, with a clean finish. And then now this is where I thought the sports entertainment kicked in.
Yeah, I have to say this about Jericho and Ambrose. You know, as good a match as it was, it sure didn't feel as important as it should have. I mean, Ambrose getting the win over Jericho should have felt like he's back on the track. Yeah. And yet somehow Ambrose, it's like, okay, I just, all of a sudden it's like, you could beat Jericho and it means nothing because the guy's got no momentum.
Right.
And beating Jericho is not going to give you any momentum right now.
Or ever, really.
I don't know about ever.
Because you're beating Chris Jericho.
I don't know about ever, but not right now.
You're beating Chris, I'm a legend, but I'm a mid-card guy, Jericho. Right. And so whatever, he beat Jericho, so he's... You know, whatever. So he won the latest mid-card mix. That's what happened. So that's all that it is. It's, you know.
So Charlotte with Ric Flair versus Natalya with Bret Hart. And these guys in NXT, these two young ladies had a spectacular match in 2014.
Hmm?
Just a tremendous match. Your match of the year for 2014.
It was. It was a very rare thing where you have an intergender match like that that comes off so well.
Between Charlie and Natty?
Charlie and Natty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had a very good match at Roadblock as well. And the match, if you'll recall in NXT, when it was over, and Flair was crying and saying to Charlotte, and Charlotte was crying, and everybody was talking about how great it was, and she was saying, like, off, you could hear her, but it was off mic, but you could hear her saying, it was all Natty. It was all Natty. It was all Natty. Rick, Dad, it was all Natty.
Yeah.
You know, and like she carried her to this great match.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing in their Roadblock match is like pretty obvious that Natalya was carrying her and put together this match and she just really gets it. And this felt like they wanted Charlotte to call a bit more of the match and more people were involved in the match. And Charlotte missed like two or three key spots where she was out of position and she didn't hit things right and she felt off. And Natty was doing her part, but that throws the match off. And then the sports entertainment finish was... The moment, like at the end of the very last thing is Flair and Hart in the ring together. Hart blocking a punch from Flair, knocking him down, and him putting Flair in the... putting Rick in the sharpshooter while Natty puts Charlotte in the sharpshooter. And that moment was like great for the crowd.
Yeah.
Like they were really into it. They really appreciated Bret. They knew about his cancer, obviously. Like, that was a great moment for the crowd, you know? But, like, right before that, you had the screw job finish for the 971st time since 1997. And this one, in many ways, was the weakest one I've maybe ever... There was one in TNA once that was so bad with Earl Hebner himself that was awful. But this might be the worst one I've ever seen.
The thing is...
There were some awful ones in WCW. It was like, it's being fucking everywhere.
No, but the thing is that, it was the worst one that we've ever seen because every one that keeps preceding it is the worst one we've ever seen.
Yes.
Because it's 2016. It's 19 years later. We have Bret Hart right there. There's absolutely zero reason to do this. That's the other thing. There is no blood feud between these two. There is no...
Well, they could be if they built it up properly, but they didn't.
But there isn't. And there's no problems between the two other than...
Well, there is. Not at a hate level.
And there's no reason...
More like at a rivalry level.
And there's no reason just to even... Yeah, there was no reason for any of it. And it was just stupid.
Well, the biggest problem to me is it happens. Charles Robinson is the referee.
Yeah.
Charles Robinson calls for the bell, runs and grabs the belt and gives it to him. And nobody on commentary explains Charles Robinson is little Nate and grew up idolizing Nate and Nate got him in the business and all that shit.
Right.
That story isn't told. So it's just something that happened that doesn't make sense. And then it doesn't get any time to breathe because immediately it goes to the sharpshooter spots.
Yeah.
So it's like... It's not explained well from the commentary. It's not explained well from anything. It's very confusing to the audience. Then it's really about the spot at the end. And I'm just like, this is too bad because this just everything felt off. And maybe that's why the match felt off. Because they knew they weren't going to have a good finish. They knew they had this bullshit.
Yeah, they probably knew they...
Exactly. I bet you, I can't imagine them saying to Bret, this is what they're going to do. And Bret goes, that's a great fucking idea.
Yeah.
No, I can imagine that's stupid. Can't we come up with something else? I imagine Natty saying that's stupid. Can't we come up with something else? Yeah. And somebody going, no, this is a great fucking idea. Trust me.
I just had fucking cancer surgery. I just had fucking wrist surgery. You're flying me in for one night to do this?
Yeah.
I think he
liked it when he was actually out there. I think he liked the reaction from the crowd. And I think he liked the moment of putting him in the sharpshooter. It was obvious that it was a lot of pain. He was in a lot of pain putting the sharpshooter on Flair, but it's obvious he enjoyed that.
Well, yeah.
But the finish was just
stupid.
And so I understand you want to build to another match, but number one, Brett can't be there really again or shouldn't.
I don't want to see another one.
For me, that just
I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done with him.
Yeah.
You know what that did to me is we talk about like this Divas Revolution, how retarded it was that they branded it.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about like great women's matches and how I've been giving them a chance to go, you know, they've been giving them a chance and so have I been giving them a chance to watch these, you know, longer women matches to say, okay, and to give us really a chance not to be divas. I'm going to watch them out now and be competitors. I'm done with them. I see a women's match, I'm fast forwarding. It's over. They just jumped the shark. Women's matches just jumped the shark for me because of that finish, and I won't go back to them.
Yeah, it was a really bad sports entertainment finish, and like I say, bad announcing, not to even explain any of it, just bad.
Okay.
And then you got, speaking of lame, then you had Vince McMahon come out, and okay, so Stephanie comes out and has to talk about how great she is.
Vince comes out first.
Oh, go ahead, Vince.
And they
loud.
Yeah, really loud CM Punk chants, obviously because they're in Chicago.
And it's pissing Vince off legit.
Well, he let it go for a while.
For a little bit. He kind of played into it eventually.
Last time they were in Chicago on the Raw, Vince was out then too.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody let them do it, and he's like, get it all out of your system. And they did.
Yeah.
And then he could move on. These people were not getting it out of their system, mostly because they just went through the fucking screw job angle, and so they were pissed.
Yes.
And so they weren't gonna simmer because this was more of a message when they're chanting CM Punk and Stephanie's going on and on and having to talk about how great, you know,
it's legit go away.
Well, and they're chanting boring and they don't care. And then Shane comes out for next and has to talk about what internet clippings that he had. Look, Mark's like me. And it's just like
the marks at Fox Sports and Sporting News like me, but the thing about it is like he got a great reaction, he got a spectacular reaction, and I think the crowd would have started to turn on Shane if they hadn't set up something with Stephanie, because I think after like a few more weeks they would have went, this is stupid, he's still there, and started to turn on him. So at least it's like, well, he is a more likable guy than Stephanie, just legit,
yeah,
like he is. But the angle is.
Well, and that was
Vince going, I like you guys fighting against each other. You both have your reasons to be in charge. So what I'm going to do is just, you two are both in charge. Work it out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is fucking stupid.
Again, that was just a waste of time. We went from a screw job, a 2016 Montreal screw job, to 15 to 20 minutes of nothing. Okay, you're both in charge. Great.
Yeah, and you two work it out. That's the part I hate. It's like, I'm okay with them putting both in charge, but you gotta give me, it's like, you have it 1 week and you have it the next. Or you have the first 90 minutes, you have the last 90 minutes. Or something, instead of just you two figure out how to work together.
Well, especially
or not. And it's like, give me some sort of storyline or parameters to what's happening. If you give me a parameter there, I can get into it. You just left it hanging and I'm going, what? That's just, it's dumb.
Especially after Vince, before Stephanie comes out, and he's trying to get this point out, and that's when the CM Punk chants start. But he's going, over the years, Raw is the weekly, longest running weekly episodic show.
That first bullshit there.
Yeah, and you know what? And over the years, we've had to reinvent ourselves and adapt and evolve the product. And I'm sitting there thinking,
which is bullshit.
Yeah, it was like, you went from the Welcome to Monday Night Raw shit for whatever, since 1993 for the first 4 years of its existence, and then decided that, then WCW was kicking your ass, so you had to redo this Raw and Raw's War and Warzone thing that brought you along. But that wasn't really a reinvention so much of Raw as much as it was of the Attitude Era in the company.
The WWE had a reinvention.
And again, He goes, and my favorite was the Attitude Era. Yeah, yeah, because that's the only fucking one.
It's, exactly.
You had Raw, you had wrestling, you had the Attitude Era, and now you have wrestling again.
Yes.
And that is it. So two, you're sandwiching the Attitude Era with the same fucking shit.
Yes.
So
yes. Well, that's exactly it. Tell you the truth, to me,
it's just two hours long.
But the look of the show is the exact same as the Attitude Era. Like the set is essentially the same.
Oh yeah.
The ring, the graphics at the beginning, all that's the same as the Attitude Era, basically, and, which isn't that different than it ever has been. But really, to me, it's like you're just the Attitude Era without the attitude now.
Yeah.
Like so you've never. So I guess you could say there's the opening Raw in front of in like gyms. For the 500 people era. Then yeah. There's the Attitude Era.
Well, the Manhattan Center, right?
A few gyms.
Yeah, oh yeah, those high school gyms, those were great. Remember, you could see the basketball nets in the background.
Yes, exactly. You're like, yeah. So they had some bad years, is what we're saying. So anyway, but there's the early Raw, then there's the Attitude Era, then there's the era now, which is the Attitude Era without any attitude. That's like, so maybe you could say there's three eras. But this has been the same era since like 2002.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, yeah.
The Attitude Era was like 4 years. 5 years, you know, tops.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it was just stupid. And they keep talking about this Attitude Era, and it's the only thing that they've ever done to differentiate, and ironically, we were talking about it before the show went on the air, brand their company.
Yes.
Right? Was with this Attitude Era, and now they have, and they've had no other idea on how to do that, and so he wants to talk about, you know, reinvent. It's fucking retarded. So here I was thinking, oh, okay, well, he's announcing, like, a change to Raw. We're going to shake something up here with, we're going to do, interviews, and we're going to, for the first hour, then the second hour is going to be Shane, and the third hour is going to be Stephanie.
Yeah.
And then afterwards you will go on social media and vote for what show you like the best. The Stephanie's hour or Shane's hour, and then we're gonna recap it the next week in the first hour, like something. And I just thought off the top of my head, and it's like, but no,
no.
Instead, you get the whole thing. They're both in charge, and Stephanie's, being the I'm smiling in your
face. And again, when Vince says, figure it out. To me, that smacks of, I don't have an idea, neither do you.
Yeah.
So that we don't have any idea. So this is our cheap and easy way out. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't create intrigue. You gotta give me something to grab onto. The idea that these two have to work together now, you already started to see it. What happened was in the main event and afterwards wasn't about the title or the participants. It was about Stephanie and Shane, and I'm like, okay, so the show is about the McMahons again. Fuck, that's great. That's just fucking what we need.
Yeah.
It's for the show to be about people that aren't wrestlers again, and the wrestlers to be the secondary talent to the family, and I'm like, no, that's everything we don't want anymore. So.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, they've evolved.
Oh yeah, they change. You know, they change all the time.
What they do. They change with the fucking times.
They change with the fucking times. That's what they fucking do.
I don't know. So then you got the main event, and the main event. It was all like you said about Stephanie and Shane.
It was there was great drama because there was so much. There was so much. It was such a schmoz, such a clusterfuck. It was a Jeff Jarrett main event.
Yes, yes, except for they didn't
Jeff Jarrett the TNA main event. Yeah, without Braun. Yeah, they did.
A little bit, yeah. I guess they did. I guess they did, yeah. So it was. Yeah, that's what it was, a Jeff Jarrett TNA main event. So the first thing that happens is they go through the match. And you know what? I liked the story early on. It seemed like a good match early on.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden...
Because at first it was like a wrestling match for the title, like a sports match.
It was a contest, exactly. Yeah. We're getting catch as catch can, slow, like Roman's going to overpower him, so AJ's trying to be quick about it. It was a good story. And then AJ jumps over the top rope into Roman with the punch, the forearm, through the announce table. And AJ gets in before the count, but can't get Roman back in, so Roman gets counted out, and AJ wins the match via count out.
And Roman retains the title.
And there's still like 15 minutes left, so okay, well, something's fucking happening here. A, we haven't seen the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
And, And it just seems stupid. So then, okay, Shane comes out and says, no, restarting the match, and there's no count out. Oh, yeah. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, then, thank you so much, Shane. And then it's like, okay, so they just said no count out. So I'm like, okay, well, fucking, someone's gonna, we just looked at each other. Someone's having a big feud. Yeah. Stephanie will come out and say, it's also no DQ.
We figure Reigns would then win the second one, and then, but instead, Reigns, accidentally hits coming off the top rope. Yeah. He accidentally hits
him in the dick.
Hits AJ in the dick and gets DQ'd.
Yes.
And I guess that is a wrestling thing, but I guess also the fact that I've watched UFC and MMA now a whole bunch, I see where a guy's trying to kick him in the thigh and accidentally catches him by the leg, and the guy comes, and he gets like 5 minutes to like recover, and the referee comes over and says, I know you did it by accident, but try and keep your kicks up.
Yeah.
And if you do it again, I'll have to take off a point, do it two more times, maybe I might have to disqualify you. So, yeah. You know, like, just the fact that it meant to immediate, like, the thing that was an obvious accident went to an immediate DQ, I guess it's wrestling, but, if it was on purpose,
mm-hmm.
DQ, like the way it was just like, I don't know, it felt fucking lame.
It was stupid. And then Stephanie comes out to add to the stupidity to it because we knew that was all happening. And so that's the story. It's about the McMahons and not about the match.
Yeah.
And so then, yeah, then Anderson and Gallows come out. They try to help AJ. It doesn't work. And then the Usos come out and
it's a smosh.
Schmoz away and then they're all done.
And then AJ and Reigns are back in the ring for like 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. And basically Reigns pins him clean.
Yeah. Spears him and pins him clean.
Yeah.
And then it's over, much to the crowd's chagrin. And then they go to the backstage and Vince is like, we're going to look at a replay. Oh, we're not going to look at a replay.
He's like, oh, I think we're going to watch a replay. Oh, okay. We're not watching a replay. But I think that was a great match. What a great match. That was such a great match. And like I say, there was a point where AJ hit the
phenomenal forearm
that the crowd was on their feet and thinking this was the finish.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, so the drama was there.
Oh, yeah.
And those people who like sports, I like a little more sports than entertainment in my presentation. Which is why I like the book. Even New Japan, still with even losing these four really talented motherfuckers, are still better than WWE. Like the Invasion Attack was great.
Yeah.
Because their booking is so good that the shit feels important.
Yes.
And
it's Gato, right?
Yeah.
I just watched him fight Chris Jericho at Halloween Havoc.
Oh, nice.
Watched that yesterday.
Yeah, that was good. I watched that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Havoc, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's it. Then that's the one with Eddie and Ray.
And Macho Man
and DDP with a great match too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. So I just watched that like a month ago.
Yeah, I literally watched it yesterday.
Yeah. So anyways, what was I saying? But the point being that afterwards
they're like, booking sucks.
Yeah. No, nothing even sucks. Like I say, for people who like this style, I think there's people who will be like, this match was good, this was good. And I'm like, yeah, it's good, but it's all a schmoz. It's all like fucking sports entertainment. It's too sports entertainment for my tastes.
Mm-hmm.
But like Vince saying afterwards, I think AJ should get a rematch. And then Stephanie starts to say, oh yes, he should. And Shane cuts her off like a heel and goes, yeah, he should, or Extreme Rules.
No, get a rematch. Stephanie started to say, and Vince is like, they're like, is she gonna be? And they're like, they both agreed, right? And then he's like, okay,
No, but she started to say, he cut off.
No, but they both agreed, and then yeah, Vince goes, where maybe, or what that would entail? And then she starts to say, at Extreme Rule, and then he cut her off.
Yeah, that's
a great idea. It would be an Extreme Rules match. And so.
What does that mean? I don't know.
No, but it's to be.
I guess the reason I'm disappointed is because I thought that, Gallows and Anderson would actually play into the finish somehow. And they didn't. They just kind of came out there. I didn't feel anything got moved forward with the Gallows and Anderson storyline. And the AJ storyline is still, they tried to help him and he didn't really seem to want it, but they helped him anyways.
I don't
think anything moved forward there.
Here's the thing.
I don't know. I'm not.
I said it when the
crowd was good at the end. There's some people who would have enjoyed it. The guys worked their fucking asses off tonight.
Yeah.
But to me, I just...
But I told
you...
It's
not quite
when the show,
my thing.
When the show was going on, I said it. This pay-per-view, the way that they were doing it, they got all the way up to it was right after the Ambrose and Jericho. It's like, there's a pay-per-view in 3 weeks, and that is blatantly obvious right now.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're going to do. Like, Extreme Rules, the matches at Extreme Rules, we're going to have... call it a, we're gonna have a Charlotte and Natty match.
Yes, you're gonna have a rematch.
In some form.
AJ right? and Reigns is a rematch.
AJ and Reigns is already
You know Styles and Ambrose will be a rematch.
Jericho and Ambrose will be a rematch.
The four-way, that'll be a rematch of a kind.
Exactly. It'd be the four of them will get put in together. So, who knows? And then maybe if you get Enzo
And there's no way you don't think that Dolph Ziggler and fucking Baron Corbin are having another match.
Oh, they have to.
Yeah.
They have to. I mean, after that controversy there.
Yeah.
They pin one in, right in the middle. But, I mean, the whole thing is, yeah, there you go. It's half those matches right there. Or most of the card then is rematch. You can have a tag title match of some kind, right? Dudley's can fight if Enzo and Cass are good to go or kind of tag match with the New Day. I mean, so there you go. You got your whole card and it's only 3 weeks away. So that's what this,
you kinda, do need this. Yeah.
That's what this kind of screamed of. And it's unfortunate. I like, the one thing I'll say I like a little bit about the Anderson and Gallows thing is that they did come out, they did this thing, it's a possibility that tomorrow they'll push the story forward, and then looking at
maybe.
I like slower paced stories.
I do, but I just feel like you had to move it a little bit tonight. It didn't move at all.
So, but, you know, if they move it tomorrow, whatever. It's moved. I suppose, you know what I mean? It's just, especially since this match at the pay-per-view
But yeah, this felt like in some degree, like a Raw setting up the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like this is payback setting up Raw to set up Extreme Rules.
Put it this way. When we did this after WrestleMania, when we did our last show after WrestleMania, after Raw, and we were, one of the things we looked at and we said is, what's the next pay-per-view? Extreme Rules? What kind of was?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's kind of, is there, this payback is just kind of in the way, and the fact that it's on the fucking network, it really doesn't matter, because we're not paying $60 for it, and then turn around 3 weeks later, pay another $60. It says $9.99 a month, so we're getting two pay-per-views here now for $9.99 in the month. Whatever.
Right? So, speaking of, on the network, so on demand only, and the replay went immediately to Vince's press conference.
Vince was having his press conference.
The playback replay, but we were really excited for Camp WWE.
Yes.
All I'll say after being really excited for it was, all the jokes that had me laughing in the preview happened in the first 3 minutes.
Yes.
And then I was less excited.
Yes.
And all I will say is, hey, the very first episode of Edge and Christian, I was really excited for and I was totally disappointed with.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's the funniest show on television, not just on fucking the WWE Network. I think it's the funniest show on television. It's like that, and then probably Dice, the Showtime show with Andrew Dice Clay, hilarious. And I'm like, yeah, so that's basically,
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you had Ric Flair showing a bear his dick. I mean, that was
funny. And fucking a bear in a cave. First time he fucked the bear in the cave was funny. The second time I was like, okay, you just did that.
Yeah. The second time it's like, oh, this is a shoot. Yeah. But we need to hear the word fuck and we did.
Yeah. So that was good. That's good on the network.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. They should do more. Like I say, they should have an uncensored version of Edge and Christian. But yeah, Edge and Christian, I was excited for and it was a disappointment. But now it's great, so that's how I'm looking at this. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm hoping for this as well.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
that's it.
That's gonna do it for yet another week. Should be back regularly on Sundays. Have a very probably a very special show next Sunday.
What's that?
Well, because of next Saturday.
What?
Next Saturday.
What
is next Saturday is May 7th.
Oh, you're right.
So next Sunday.
Look for some Owen Hart talk.
Yeah, we'll do the Owen Hart, the annual Owen Hart show. And then we'll also talk about how shitty this angle is with Shane and Stephanie from what happens on Raw.
There's been a lot of good, and there was some good tonight, too. So I don't want to be completely negative. It's just that this is not quite, it's like I say, it's not so much my thing. Some people don't want this sports entertainment. It's fine.
What we talked about before we watched the show in the first half of this particular program is exactly what we got. And the undercard is great. and all these things that are coming through this four-way that, you know, you got the fact that you got AJ and Anderson Gill still staying in the main event picture. I liken it to, this is that kind of time where they give that sort of thing. I remember Davey.
They are all into this new era. There is a change. They're trying to rebrand this as the new WWE.
Again. This is the new generation.
Well, what was it they're calling it? It's a change, or what are they saying? It's the,
I think it's the new era. It's the first pay-per-view of the new era.
Yeah.
But they haven't really branded.
But they are trying to essentially say, yeah, this is it. This is not the same WWE. We're going to give you fresh guys with fresh matchups and go more in that NXT. I think they're basically saying we're going to go more in that NXT, style.
Yeah. Yeah. The hard part is that they're saying that, and then we get a Montreal screwjob angle.
I know.
You know, and we get the, like you said, and then we get the McMahons on top of the show. So
yeah, it's say, more about say the McMahons say and the wrestlers and the belts.
This is like if you were to break down the Attitude Era, and if you were going to call them Attitude Era and the McMahon-Helmsley Era, two separate things.
Yeah, which I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either, but that's what this is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So. Anyway, it's just different wrestlers there, and hopefully that's all, yeah.
That's all.
Hopefully that,
We'll talk some Owen Hart.
Yeah.
Let's talk Owen Hart.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, man. We're, OUT on this motherfucker.
Yes, so, that's gonna do it for yet another week. And Ardu O'Cal, you get what you deserve for taking this. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Off air.
Oh yeah.
Should we edit out that whole Enzo thing?
Why? He called you fat.